Hey, Luxifer, how fun would it be to lose weight this week? Yes, this week. How empowering would it be to lose weight without depending on a list of do not eat foods this week? Now, if that grabbed your attention, I have something very special for you. I created the ultimate solution for you, and it's called How to Lose Weight This Week Without a Diet. Inside this guide, I share my number one hack that will help you cut back on your food consumption consistently so you can say goodbye to expensive weight loss medications, pills, supplements, all the things. You can say goodbye to restrictive diets and you can say hello to a very simple way to eat less and lose weight. Imagine this time next week, you look down and you notice that your pants have a little bit more wiggle room in them. Yes, it is 100% possible for you. I can't wait for you to read this guide. You can grab it for free. Just go to jenniferdent.com/this week. Are you ready to say goodbye to dieting forever? I know you are because you're listening to the Stop Dieting Forever podcast. Listen, this doesn't have to be a wish anymore. It can be your reality. So go to jenniferdent.com/this week right now and go grab your free guide and begin to lose weight this week. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Go do it now because in 7 days, you will have lost weight. Go to jenniferdent.com/this week. Your body is going to say, thank you. You're listening to the Stop Dieting Forever podcast, episode 195. What if it were possible to achieve your goal weight and stay there permanently without dieting? Welcome to the Stop Dieting Forever podcast, where you will discover the key components that most diets won't tell you because they want you to keep coming back. Not here. This is your last stop on the weight loss struggle bus. I am your host, Jennifer Dent Brown, life and weight loss coach, and I am going to show you how to stop dieting forever. Let's jump into today's episode. Hey, Luxifer, welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. Now, I have a very special guest for you. I'm going someplace that I've never gone before. So I'm going to introduce you today in this podcast to Sarah Boss. She is a certified astrologer, life coach, and intuitive healer. So you may be scratching your head right now and you're like, wait a second, why is Jennifer have an astrologer on a podcast that has to do with weight loss and learning how to stop dieting? Let me give you the backstory. So I met Sarah in person. We're in a women's networking group together called the Walnut Club. And I learned what she did and I was fascinated. Now, I attended a workshop because she also does business readings, like astrological readings for business. And so I was interested in that just because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner. But then I learned that she also does readings based off medical astrology readings. I never heard that before. I was like, what is a medical astrology reading? So I knew that she did it. It didn't click. I didn't think, oh, I need to go get one done. But fast forward a couple of months later, I am working through my own, I don't know if I even call it a health crisis. It's a circumstance that I am working through. It's hormonal. And so I've been seeking support from a lot of different people. And, you know, I probably will introduce a lot of them on the podcast just to become like more aware of what's happening in my body outside of what I have access to with traditional Western medicine. I have to say, I was very disappointed when I took my symptoms to my primary care physician and she just kind of like she just kind of blew me off. But we'll save that for another podcast. So anyway, I met Sarah. I knew what she did. We had become friendly. I'd seen her at a couple of events. And then I was like, you know what? I think I want to ask Sarah to do a medical reading for me on the podcast. Just like be bold and audacious and ask. I didn't even know what all is involved with a medical reading. And she was like, absolutely, let's do it. And so that's what this podcast is. It is essentially her teaching me and teaching you all as you listen what astrology has to do with your health and what you can learn from understanding your birth chart. And it was just like, it was fascinating. You will hear in this episode her reading my chart, and she's like the real deal, y'all. So I had lots of questions and I interrupted her a lot. But you will hear her like literally break down and basically read me, right, about like my lifestyle, my tendencies for alcohol and sugar. And I was like, oh my goodness, no wonder I had a weight problem all these years. And so she also gave me some things to look out for as I age. And we also talked about different ways to manage the stress, which is one of the issues that I'm working through right now. So all in all, it was a really, really interesting, it wasn't even an interview, it was a reading. It was just fascinating to hear about myself through the birth chart. And Sarah does a really good job at explaining why this information is important, like what insights and what awareness is she gleaning from the chart, and what we can do with that information. And so I'm the guinea pig. I went first. You will hear what a medical astrology reading sounds like, what it looks like, the information that you can find from it. And she also gives some really interesting information just in general for all of us, the things that we can look for. But if you're really, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this, because I feel like, you know, God bless our Western medical physicians and doctors. You all went through a lot of training, a lot of studies. They're not trained in everything. And I don't want to take a prescription for my symptoms. I want to figure out what the root cause is so I can heal it from that aspect versus just taking some prescriptions, which will give me side effects, which will then lead to another prescription, which will lead to more side effects. Like, I don't want to go down the prescription rabbit hole. So I've been exploring alternative methods of healing, like acupuncture. I'm seeing a functional medicine specialist. And now I just had an intuitive reading for a medical astrology reading from an intuitive healer live on the podcast. So I'm doing all the things, y'all. But I want to do this to show you that there is another way to deal with your medical issues, and your PCP, your primary care physician, isn't the last step. It's not the end of the story. There are other things that you can do. And my clients know, like, the more data you have about yourself, the more awareness and insight you have about your body, your way of thinking, it only gives you more and empowers you to be able to make the right choices and to make better choices for you and for your health. And so I just want to just kind of be the beacon, be the light, be the person that tells you it's okay to look outside of your doctor, your in-network doctors that you go to for your symptoms, and just like be curious and explore some different things, because you might glean something from those alternative practitioners, and that's what they're called, that just may help you. And it just may be the key to unlock better health for you. So as I'm on this journey, you are also on this journey. So enjoy this episode with Sarah Boss. You can get all of her contact information or is in the show notes. Definitely look her up. I encourage you to look her up. If not, just be curious, just for shits and giggles. Just entertain yourself and just hear what she has to say and see if anything resonates. All right, y'all, live lux, and I will see you in the next episode. All right, you guys, I have the most interesting human that I've met recently. Sarah Boss is here on the podcast, and she's an astrologer, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, a Cosmo type astrology. She's like the real deal. She knows what she's talking about. I attended a workshop with her where she did astrology readings for businesses, which was fascinating. And she also does medical astrology readings. I've never heard of anything like this before. And so I was like, Sarah, what do you think about coming on the podcast and like giving me a medical reading live on the air? And she was like, oh, I'd love to. So here we are, y'all. I have no idea what's going to come out of this reading. I feel like I'm sharing too much of my business. We'll just edit it out. But first, I want to introduce Sarah. Tell us how you got into this, but please tell us what medical astrology is.
Sure.
So tell us, introduce yourself, and then tell us what it is.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you so much for having me on your incredible podcast. So I am an astrology coach and healer. So I combine astrology with life coaching and different healing modalities to help people who are navigating major life transitions. And so the way that I got into astrology, short cliff notes version, I was living in China. I was a teacher for 14 years, actually, teaching in New York and then in China, teaching at an international school, realized that it wasn't aligned and started to feel that I was meant to help people, but in a deeper way. I was always interested in astrology. I had already kind of started my healing journey. I had gotten certified in Reiki, which is energy healing. I had started doing meditation. I had started learning to read intuitive cards. And then with astrology, when I got my first astrology reading, it was right before I moved to China, and it was right after my father had passed away. I had just broken up with this man that I thought was my soulmate and was going to follow me to China, and then it all fell apart. And so I was going through this really, you know, challenging, pivotal moment in my life, and that astrology reading really helped. It was like talking to somebody who just got me, who just understood me on a deep soul level. And it gave me just this feeling that this was okay. This was all meant to be happening. This was a new chapter of my life. And so that was so pivotal for me that I was just after that drawn to astrology. I just started reading these books.
How many years ago was that?
That's a good question. Let's see. That was 8 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, 8 years ago that I had the move to China and all of that. But I didn't actually get my astrology certification until a few years ago when the pandemic happened and I realized that it was time to stop teaching and to go full in into the soulpreneur journey. And it just kind of naturally evolved because I would always tell people about their astrological signs. And at one point I found myself at a party telling everybody about their signs and people were like, do you do readings? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I
haven't. That's how we started talking. We ended up sitting at it was brunch, right? We went to a social event at the museum, Barnes Museum in Philadelphia. I hadn't met you before and we ended up sitting across from each other. And then you told me what you did. I was like, astrology readings? I was fascinated.
Yeah.
And we just started talking and you just were like a wealth of information. And I was like, I need to know more. And then we did the workshop. And so, and now here you are.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And it honestly really helps me to understand people better. And that's why I'll ask someone that I meet within 5 minutes into the conversation, what sign are you? I don't always remember people's names the first time, but I always remember their signs. Well, it is. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So, and a medical astrology. So medical, a lot of people know about astrology, Western astrology, but not necessarily medical astrology. So basically you have your astrological birth chart, which is your energetic blueprint. And it has so much information about your inner needs, about your soul's path, about the challenges that you're meant to experience in this lifetime, about your relationship patterns, about your love language, and also your health. It is a key factor to understanding when your energy gets out of alignment, how that then can manifest on a physical, on an emotional, on a spiritual level. So your astrological chart actually has a house of health, which is your sixth house. And that house has a lot of information regarding health habits, regarding your eating patterns. And by looking at the ways that the planets are speaking to each other in your chart, you can understand the sort of medical conditions that you could be a little bit predisposed towards when your energy gets out of alignment. So there are certain signatures that I have seen with people with insomnia, with cancer, weight loss, and they're not always the same. But what you can do when you look at a chart from a holistic perspective is you can usually understand, okay, what's the underlying cause?
Mm.
You know, what's coming up? And it's usually in some other area or multiple areas of their life, be it love, be it family, you know, be a career. And so that's sort of in a summarized version, how we use medical astrology. It's not a substitute for Western medicine.
Yeah.
It is an alternative path to just understanding in a deeper level. Again, when your energy gets out of alignment, why is that happening?
Awareness, right? So yeah. I'm all about, I mean, that's how we change our identity. That's how we lose weight. That's how we improve our health, is when we become aware of certain things that, you know, normally we're just going through life on autopilot. And so what you just said of like understanding the root cause of something is one of the reasons why I wanted to have a reading with you. Then I had this bold idea of like, let's do it live on the podcast. Because I've been having some health challenges. Just, you know, I turned 50, my hormones are all over the place. As an entrepreneur, and you understand this, just working 24/7, working way too, like, I know I've been working way too much. But now it's like catching up with me, the signs and physical symptoms of overwork, stress, burnout. So I recently had all of my hormones tested. We'll talk about this on another podcast, but I had all of my hormones tested. Basically, my adrenals are fried. My progesterone is low. My estrogen dominant. My thyroid is starting to become dysfunctional. So a lot of different things that are happening. And so now I'm in this like exploratory stage of healing myself, but understanding the root cause of things, understanding, okay, how did we get here? Yes, I know I work a lot. That's one thing. So I'm working on stress reduction. But what else is there that I may be able to glean to aid in my healing journey? And so I'm doing this because it helps my clients, right? As I learn, my clients learn, my audience learns. And so I'm so intrigued about astrology and energy. I recently started seeing an acupuncturist and have been having really great results with that. And so I was like, okay, medical astrology, never heard of it before, but let's do it. So Sarah has pulled my chart. I sent her all of my information, birth date, birth time, birth location, all the things. She has created a visual chart for me. And if you're watching the video of this, I'm going to pull it up on the screen. And she's just going to tell me some stuff. I have no idea what she's going to tell me. But I'm just fascinated. And I want the listeners to understand, yes, Western medicine has its place. It definitely is useful. Our physicians, our doctors are very knowledgeable in some certain areas. But there are other areas, there's a whole other part of our bodies and our brains that we don't understand. Western medicine doesn't understand. And you know, most of us don't understand in America. And so I think it's really important just to be open, just to see, because you never know what you might learn. Mm-hmm. You never know. And Sarah's a professional. So I'm going to pull up my chart. Is there anything else you want us to know as I'm pulling up my chart? Like why you think it's important for people to understand this part of their chart when it comes to their health journey? Is there anything you want to add about that, Sarah?
I just feel like astrology is such a beautiful tool for self-awareness in so many areas in your life. It's kind of like a puzzle that will help you when something is out of alignment in your life to look at your astrological chart, because a lot of times you will find those puzzle pieces that will just lead to those aha moments that help you to make sense of what's going on. So that's what I would add. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, that's what we're about to do. We're going to try to put some puzzle pieces together and figure some things out. And here we go.
Yeah, amazing. So before we start with your chart, the one thing I want to just mention is when you are age 49 through 51, everyone goes through what is called a Chiron return. So Chiron is considered the wounded healer. It's the wound that you have come into this lifetime to move through, to understand, to heal, and then to integrate. And as you do that, you are able to use that wound to be of service. Now, so when this happens and you go through a Chiron return, what that means is that transit in Chiron, because all the planets are moving around that wheel that you see, and at different times, they're going to talk to your planets, you know, they're going to interact. And when they're having a direct conversation, that's when things can start to feel a little intense in your world, depending upon the way that they're talking.
I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions, Sarah, because I know you can go. This is your thing.
Yeah.
I have known nothing about this. You said 49 through 51. What does that mean?
when you're age 49 through 51, that's age. So that's a period. So when this happens in your Chiron, that's the little key that's in your third house. So we have here the 12 houses in astrology. So also, if you need me to go back, you just tell me whatever, I can fill in gaps. Okay. But every single, for anybody who hasn't seen an astrological chart before, if you're looking at this visual, every house, it's divided up into 12 houses, and each house represents a different theme. So you have the first house of identity, the second house, which is the house of self-worth, how you make money, the third house, which is your house of early childhood, communication, also siblings, going all the way around to the 12th house. And the 12th house is the last house, the meaty house of more isolation, your connection to spirit, solitude, and that is where your karma turns into your dharma. So that is where you have understood your life lessons and you have hopefully integrated them to be of service to the collective.
What does it mean when your houses are empty?
That's a great question. So when your houses are empty, it just means that that is not going to be as much of a focus for you in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that you're not going to have lessons, but you would, when I look at an astrological chart, the first thing that I would look at, for example, are the houses where you have a lot of planets, because that means that's a big focus for you. And that doesn't mean that it's good. It doesn't mean that it's bad. It actually just depends on where the planets are. And again, how they're conversing with each other.
11.
Yeah. So you got a lot happening in your 11th house. That is the house of community. That is the house of friendship. The 11th house is considered the house of the future. So it's interesting. That's actually, starting just by looking at your chart, the first thing that I see here, all of those signs, you have what's called a stellium. So a stellium is when you have three or more planets in the same sign. Mm-hmm. So you have all of these in Sagittarius, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, your sun, your moon, your midheaven, your Neptune, your north node. That's a lot of Sagittarius. So Sagittarius, that's why it's helpful then to understand, okay, Sagittarius energy. So what do you know about Sagittarius energy?
I'm a fire sign.
Right. Fire sign. Yeah.
I love travel. I like seeing different environments and I don't like doing the same thing all the time.
Yes.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's great. So I'm going to relate all of this back to medical astrology to make it also, you know, applicable in that domain. So fire sign, mutable energy, you need change. You need change, you need flexibility in your life, and the sun represents your vitality. So that's what lights you up, and that also is, it's contributing to what really makes you feel good. So when your energy gets out of alignment, it's when you're not living through your sun. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're not able to have flexibility, where you're feeling stuck and stagnant, this could create disharmony within, you know, on an emotional level, on a physical level. But when I look at this, all of this mutable energy, so this is one of the signatures when we look at medical astrology, when we've got a lot happening in one sign, that can sometimes trigger things, mm-hmm. trigger other things, right? So that's definitely a signature that you want to pay attention to. One question that I would ask you when it comes to this and to health is, how are you when it comes to seeing an exercise routine through, to seeing something through? Are you good? Like, are you good at sticking at it consistently or not so much?
No, I'm not good at consistency. I'm just like, I'll start something and then I'll like, finish it later. Exercise is one of those things, like I really have to do a lot of thought work to get myself motivated and stay consistent. When I say thought work, I mean like getting my mind aligned with the actual result.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about your sixth house of exercise and what types of exercise would be beneficial. But with Jupiter, Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. Now, Jupiter is the planet of expansion, but it's also the planet of excess. So when we see a lot of Jupiter, that can be a signature of being prone to overindulgence with things.
No, where is that on the chart?
So that's all the Sagittarius energy that's happening here. Because Sagittarius, you got all these signs in Sagittarius, and Sagittarius is ruled by the planet Jupiter. So Jupiter brings in abundance, Jupiter brings in good fortune, but Jupiter also expands things. So it can bring in excess. There is a focus on liver health. So you want to make sure to be very aware of that. Jupiter rules fat digestion, it rules metabolism, it rules body fats. Doing something like, have you ever done a liver detox?
a long time ago. And I used to do castor oil packs too.
A liver detox, I feel, would be something that could be really beneficial because you have so much Jupiter energy here. So that's just something to keep in mind. And because it's a mutable sign, you could have conditions that fluctuate in severity. So you could have, yeah, now this, and going here, and then going there. So it's mutable, right? So what's interesting too is that your Jupiter, so then we also look, this is ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter is in your first house. That's your house of identity. That's how you express yourself in the world. Okay. And this is actually a positive health indicator. But again, it's another sign that it could be prone to overindulgence. So being just aware of mindfulness when it comes to things like, you know, alcohol, to desserts, you know, to all of that stuff. I would say alcohol in particular is something that you want to be careful and mindful about when you have a lot of Jupiter energy.
I've noticed recently, not recently, but in the past, year or so, I can't tolerate as much alcohol as I used to. So I don't even drink as much as I used to. It just disrupts my sleep. One glass of wine and I'm feeling like, oh, I had too much. Like, I just don't like that feeling anymore. Mm. And I don't know whether that comes with age and just the way that my body metabolizes things, but the same with sugar. My body doesn't metabolize sugar and desserts like it used to. So I just don't indulge as much as I used to. But back in the day, I love a good cocktail or two or three and dessert. Like it was all like we would go out to eat. Of course, it was cocktails, dessert, all the things.
That makes sense. Yeah. And the other thing I just want to mention here is that when you have all of this energy in your 11th house, it's directly influencing your sixth house, which is the house of health. And we're going to go back and talk about that. But what I'm feeling when I look at this signature is that, again, you need to have constant change in your life. Otherwise, this could lead to a feeling of feeling stuck. And there is this need to really be growing and expanding and creating and feels like teaching as well in community. Mm-hmm. This is something really building and, you know, learning and creating growth and expansion in a community is super important, especially because your moon, which is your innermost needs, is also in Sagittarius and it's in the 11th house. So is this something that you have been doing? Like, I know you have the podcast, but tell me more about how you do this in your own life.
Yeah. So I've always been a community person. I was always organizing, you know, initiatives in my church. I was like head of the youth ministry and like mentored young girls. I used to do networking events in my 20s and my 30s with like Philadelphia young professionals. And now I have my community of clients, the clients in my group. And then people who listen to the podcast, I call them my Lux Lifers. This is like my virtual community. I would love to interact with them more because, you know, podcasting is kind of one-sided, but they do leave me messages and you guys email me occasionally. So, but when I create content, I am always thinking about the greater community.
Yeah, I love that. And that's super important. It also feels like you really need to be doing things your own way. And there's this aspect of that because your ascendant is Aquarius. And so Aquarius is the innovator. Aquarius is the visionary. Aquarius is the one that does things outside of the box that needs to be able to have that freedom and independence. It feels like independence is also super important for you to have that independence to do things, you know, to see things through your own way. Now, I understand the overworking part because all of that fire energy, fire is go, 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 go. Yeah. And so we'll talk about some suggestions of practices, you know, health-wise that could help you in terms of balancing that. Because yes, you have a lot of fire in your chart. And from what I'm seeing, I'm looking to see, well, you have some earth, but you have so much fire because you've got fire here. You've got all these planets in Aries here. That's more fire. Leo, more fire. There's a lot of fire.
Yeah,
exactly. Which is great because it brings the passion. It brings the drive.
Yeah.
You know, your superpower is lighting people up, but fire also, it's important to find that balance in terms of, you know, slowing down and being able to breathe and be in the present moment and be okay with taking time off when you need to. So I want to talk about any questions about anything I just said.
No, I can't wait to hear your suggestions on how to slow down. I mean, that's what I'm working on now, how to slow down and take time off and like delegate.
Yeah.
But no, this is really interesting.
Well, so let's take a look at your sixth house. So your sixth house is the house of health. It's also the way that you like to structure your day. It can be connected as well to your work day. So not just health, but your work environment. And your sixth house is ruled right here. You can see the little squiggly is ruled by Cancer. So when I see a sixth house that's ruled by Cancer, it usually indicates that your routine fluctuates based on your mood.
Oh my gosh, how do you know that?
Well, it's just in the chart. So with Cancer also, you should just be aware in terms of Cancer, it rules the chest, the breast, the uterus, ovarian hormones, stomach, stress, emotional burnout, all of that is connected to Cancer. And so a sixth house Cancer tend to be indulgent eaters, loving good home cooked meals, comfort food. You may enjoy cooking, baking.
Mm-hmm. I do like good food, like high quality. Mm-hmm. I'm a foodie when it comes to like really good Michelin star chef food, like delicious food.
Yeah.
If it's not good, I'm not happy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. But also the thing you should be aware of with Cancer is with the signature, you're more prone to being an emotional eater. So it's super important not to eat during negative emotional states. This is actually very bad for your digestion. And when you eat, you want your meal times to be happy, uplifting, positive experiences. You know, you want it to be something that's joyful. Maybe have some candles, you know, the environment. I feel like the environment is actually really important for you when you're eating. So, and this just this deep emotional connection, if your emotions are feeling unsettled, it's better not to eat in that moment, to just give yourself some time. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. This is what I do. I'm an emotional eater. I help my people with the emotional eating. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been studying this for years about myself. So I'm very clear of like when it's an emotional hunger versus a true physical hunger. And I know very clearly like, oh, I'm totally emotionally eating right now and I don't really care. But those moments now are so few and far in between. But this is why it makes me such a good coach to help other people, because I know exactly what they're experiencing.
Yeah. And it's interesting because your Saturn, so Saturn is the planet of lessons, life lessons, karmic lessons, restrictions. Saturn is usually pretty good when it comes to discipline, but Saturn is also in Cancer in your sixth house. So it feels like there are some lessons here around nurturing, around how you are nurturing yourself and how that, and that's showing up through your health. It's showing up through your routine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was saying the part about really tuning into your emotions and just being very aware, you know, when you eat. And also when you eat, making that an experience that just fills your cup and really fills you up emotionally. It's very important on an energetic level.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah, I'll come back to the Saturn. But also, so if we look at the type of movement that's good for you, it's interesting because I think there's a range. When I see this signature, a lot of times people with a sixth house Cancer, they do well with flowy, creative, spiritual forms of movement like dance, yoga, tai chi. They're not always the best when it comes to regular exercise, and they need to be emotionally invested in their workout.
Is that me?
So this is a signature normally of needing to have like that emotional connection, and they exercise like when they feel like it.
That's interesting.
Swimming is beneficial as well when I see the signature. But that being said, you also have a lot of fire, which is like because your Mars, which is how you assert yourself in the world, is in Aries. You've got all of this Sagittarius. So this is actually quite a beneficial signature when it comes to metabolism. But this is a signature that also works well with high intensity, you know, workouts.
Yeah.
So what types of things do you like to do when it comes to exercise?
I do prefer a good hit run, just, you know, go hard for a minute, walk for a couple minutes, go hard. I do strength training. I mean, I really enjoy strength training. That's what I like to do. Yoga, not so much. My clients always laugh at me because I'm like, I mean, I'll try it. It's okay. It's too slow for me. So I used to do like yoga sculpt with like weights and stuff, which is a little bit more aerobic. But yeah, I like to do HIIT workouts. I like to do weight training. And I like to walk too. So walking, I get in my head and I think, I process my emotions and, you know, be the visionary when I'm walking.
Yeah. What about dance?
Like professional dance or just like
dance class?
Turn on the music and dance. I do like to dance. It's one of the things I feel like I lost as an entrepreneur. But I am going, ironically, coincidentally, I'm going out tomorrow night with my friends to go see a live Brazilian band. So there will be some dancing there. So that'll be fun.
Oh, amazing. Well, and even doing a dance class, because dance is, it's a type of somatic movement. Because I see you're so much fire, you need to move. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's natural. That's in your chart. And I could see it maybe being more challenging for you to sit. I don't know. Do you meditate at all?
I do.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. But a lot of times, like signatures with fire, if you need the movement, dance is actually, it's a somatic practice that you can use to release emotions, you know, while also being beneficial, obviously, for other health reasons. But that could be a nice thing to try, you know, trying a dance class.
Okay. I used to do somatic movement. I don't know why I stopped. Mm. I tried it. I'm like, oh, this is something different. And I liked it. So maybe I'll go back to it.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you do with meditation?
So I've been meditating. I took a course on how to meditate in 2016. So I've been meditating for a while and it's a practice. Mm-hmm. It is very helpful. I have ADHD. So I find that the meditation helps to ground me in the morning. I don't do it as much in the afternoon as I used to. I used to do it twice a day, but some days are, you know, are worse than others, of course, like your brain is just all over the place and that's to be expected. But I do like meditation. I do like the practice of just closing my eyes, blocking everything else out and thinking about just nothing for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, meditation is a, doesn't matter what sign you are. It's always a beneficial practice. And especially in terms of, you know, when you're going a lot to come back into presence and just be in the present moment. So yeah, that's amazing that you have a meditation practice. I would say also, do you do any group exercise?
I just started Train and Nourish. Remember we talked about that?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah, yes. Like, how do you like that?
I love it. I go once a week. I go on Saturdays.
Okay, amazing.
That's part of my community aspect and my group and the strength training. So for those of you who don't know, we'll put the link in the show notes. Train and Nourish is a woman-owned gym in the Philadelphia area. I think she's got three or four studios, and she has group classes. It's all strength training and a limit of like a max of 10 people, and you go around at different stations and it's like 45 minutes. And I love it. And I love the classes.
Yeah, I do it too. I also love it. So it's interesting because, again, coming back to everything going on in your 11th house and that being the house of community, I feel like you would do well with group exercise because nourishment for you comes through community, teaching in the community, as I mentioned before, and having a support circle would be really beneficial for you when it comes to health.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I try to rope my friends in. So in my community, I call it a success squad. I'm like, everybody should have or be part of a success squad, which is your community. So I try to rope my friends into keeping each other accountable with our workouts. So I have a small group of friends on WhatsApp and we check in.
Amazing. That's great. And I think that's helpful for you just in terms of feeling that support, again, because you have so much going on in the 11th house of friendship and community. That's just super, that's an important value for you. I will also say with your moon in Sagittarius here, so you need variety. You need to be able to do new things. And so when it comes to indulgences, yes, you like your favorite treats, your indulgences, and maybe there isn't, have you tried anything that involves creating healthier versions of, for example, a cake, like a high vibrational cake that's maybe gluten-free and refined sugar-free or raw chocolate?
I did all of that stuff, like create a healthier version of like a Snickers bar. And I don't subscribe to that anymore because you just end up eating just as much. And so I just prefer to have the real thing because it never never really tastes like the real thing. I rather enjoy the real thing, give myself permission to eat it and just like a real piece of chocolate cake or a real, like, I don't know, artisan crafted piece of dark chocolate. Like that's what I enjoy. My palate enjoys that versus a gluten-free pizza crust.
That makes a lot of sense, actually, because so I want to point out to your moon and you have Neptune. So Neptune is the planet of illusion, spirituality, and Neptune kind of, it merges things together. So it dissolves boundaries. So when I see this, two things I want to point out. It could provide potential challenges at times when it comes to regulation of ovarian hormones. And moon, so it can be hormonal issues that sometimes you can see that can present itself when you have the moon and Neptune so close to each other. And it can also show that you probably are not going to do as well for a really strict diet because you need to have the foods that feel indulgent. Mm-hmm. Like the food needs to taste good. You need to feel satiated. You need to be able to eat the indulgent food. So that makes sense what you said. If the healthier versions aren't working, that you eat the good stuff, but in moderation.
That makes total sense of like why I struggled with diets for years. Like I was always on a diet, off a diet, on a diet, off a diet. Cause I would get real excited about, oh, we got a new diet. And I would like follow it to a T, like obsessively. Mm-hmm. And then I would lose a little bit of weight. And then I guess I would get bored or, you know, I would have a life moment, emotional moment. And I would just go eat the thing and quit the diet and then go back to eating the way that I used to. So that was literally my pattern for decades, which is how I ended up becoming a health coach. So here we are. It makes total sense.
Yeah. And that actually, that signature goes really well with your chart because the Saturn, again, in your sixth house, Saturn represents where you're experiencing those life lessons. Mm-hmm. And that's for you. That's your sixth house of health. And so you're learning the things that you've learned through your own experiences when it comes to diet, then you're taking in a way to be nurturing and helping other people, teaching other people, 11th house, Sagittarius. Sagittarius is also the teacher, right? Sharing, you know, higher knowledge with the world. So that is, I have to say, pretty perfect when it comes to just even looking at the signature of your chart. Like you're right on
point. I'm living my purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And it also feels like because your moon is conjunct your midheaven is represents what you need to do in this lifetime in order to come into public recognition, to feel professionally that you're feeling successful. So there's a relationship between emotional satisfaction and you fully expressing your gifts in the world. Hmm. So it's really important for you when it comes to really you stepping into, you know, and sharing and being like, this is who I am, that you're doing it in that Sagittarius way of, you know, sharing knowledge, teaching. Do you have any courses that you're doing?
I teach all the time. I teach on the podcast. I teach my clients. Yeah, Stop Dieting Forever is my group program. I have a full curriculum. I just redid, taught all new modules, all new lessons. So yes, I'm definitely a teacher.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's definitely in line and teaching groups, mm-hmm. right in line with your chart. And the other thing I would say about the Saturn being in your sixth house. So that's lessons around health. It can be lessons around routine, how you structure your work day. Now, Saturn is in Cancer. And so it's in what's called detriment. It means it's not especially happy being in Cancer. And it's talking in kind of a challenging way to your moon in Sagittarius. So this is considered when we see a more challenging conversation. This could mean that you could have more challenges when it comes to health. There's a particular emphasis here on bone health because it's Saturn, but having Saturn in your sixth house is good in the sense that it is usually when I see the signature, it's somebody who's able to create discipline and make permanent health changes. That being said, it is in Cancer and it's less happy being in Cancer. So how have you done when it comes to that, when it comes to, you know, moving and making a big health shift?
I mean, it's all I do. I'm like, I have all the gadgets, the tech gadgets. I collect data about my health.
Yeah.
Because I want to become more aware of like what's happening. It's interesting you mentioned the bone issue because I actually asked my primary care physician, a Westerner doctor, if I could get a prescription for a bone density scan. And she told me no, because I'm not yet in menopause. Even though I have a history of my mom's got bone density issues. So I was like, I just want to get ahead of it. I want to see where I am. I want to just, you know, like get a baseline. She was like, no, you don't need that yet.
Yeah, I feel like when I look at your chart, bone health is something you're going to want to pay attention to, because your Venus, and Venus is also connected to hormones and kidneys and all of that, but Venus, which is, you know, we think of it as the love planet, the relationship planet, it's in Capricorn. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. Saturn is bone health. So this could indicate potential bone issues that are coming up, in particular because it's squaring. So it's speaking in a more challenging way to Chiron. And Chiron is your wound. That's the wound that I talked about at the beginning that we come into this lifetime to heal. So again, it's not saying that you're going to have them. It just means that you're more predisposed to that. So it's something that you're going to want to be aware of, making sure with your diet, you know, that you're getting enough supplements and, you know, doing what you need to, which it sounds like you're doing also with the strength training. But yeah, I think it's a good idea to be, just as you intuitively knew with the doctor, to just be on top of that.
Yeah.
And I would say also, because your ascendant is Aquarius, Aquarius is ruled, the modern ruler is Uranus, but the traditional ruler is Saturn. You got a lot happening with Saturn. Again, Saturn, bone health. So it's just, that's a signature to be aware of and to do.
Oh, that's interesting that you mentioned that was an intuitive hit. I guess that was an intuitive hit that I asked for it.
Totally.
Huh. Well, I'm also working with a functional medicine practitioner, so maybe I'll just have to work through her to get it done.
Yeah, I love that. Here's the other reason that you should pay special attention to bone health over the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Everyone, when they turn 51 through 53, they have the transiting Saturn. So Saturn, that's the, you know, moving around, that squares. So speaks in a more challenging way to their natal Saturn. So this could be a time, again, we always look at transits when it comes to astrology, because sometimes a planet will move around, will talk in a challenging way to one of your planets and then kind of kick something off. Mm-hmm. So the next 3 years, because you're going to have that Saturn square, that's a time that you're going to want to look at whatever needs to be taken care of before you move into your second Saturn return, which happens at age 59. So it's a time, I would say, to just be specially aware of, yeah, bone health in particular.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm on it. I'm early. Yeah. I'm only 50. I'm getting taken care of it now.
There you go. Exactly. Good. Exactly. And I will say the one other thing just to be aware of that I had mentioned at the very beginning, everybody goes through the Chiron return. So again, that's when Chiron, you know, transiting Chiron, the wound, comes and talks to your Chiron. And that happens for age 49 through 51. And when this happens, it can bring up new life directions. You start to question things. You're starting to reconsider your options. And you could feel your external world that's shifting as your internal world is changing. And this in particular is happening in your third house. That's a house, again, of communication, of early childhood development, of short-term travel, of siblings. So those are all themes to just be aware of, because again, if something starts to feel out of alignment and energetically, it can manifest on a physical level.
Okay. So short-term travel, I want to go on a trip. That means go on a trip. Is that what I should be gleaning from this?
So I would say whichever of those areas you feel like, is there an area that's been coming up recently? So this can be also related to your neighborhood, but usually third houses, short-term travel, early childhood. So when I say early childhood, maybe there is something that is coming up in your unconscious around an event or around a relationship when you were a child, or around something maybe even that happened when you were at school, you know, when you were a kid, that created a wound of some sort. And I'm thinking this was probably around when you were a teenager, because it's at 16 degrees, that you now need to heal, to work through. And it's in Aries, and Aries is all about how you're stepping into your power. Aries is about honoring your needs, putting your needs first.
Okay. Nothing is coming up immediately, but look, I'm going to go see my parents next week. So maybe something will come up then. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah. I'm going to go see him too, my brother. He's down in Florida too.
Okay. Yeah. It can be connected to your relationship with your siblings as well. So that's just something to keep in mind, because that's the area where your Chiron is. You always want to be aware also where your Chiron is, because that's the area in your life where that you will usually all of us experience trauma to some extent that we then need to heal.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So if someone wanted to know where their Chiron is just in general, how would they be able to do that?
They would look at their astrological chart. And so the Chiron is represented by this little key here.
The little key?
In your third house. Yeah. You see the little green key?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you said it's at 16 degrees.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And the degree point of Chiron often is considered to be associated with around the age where something happened that created the, you know, big T, little T trauma, which then you integrate or you learn to heal and to integrate. So those are the main, those would be, I would say, the main signatures that I see in your chart. Do you have any questions?
This is what I wrote down as my takeaways. Is that continue with my strength training, community stuff, incorporate somatic movement somehow, some way, dancing somehow during my day. I think I'm going to go back to my mindful practice while I'm eating. You mentioned like lighting a candle. I used to do that. I used to sit down at the table. Like I just made it a whole thing when I was like learning mindfulness eating. Or the mindfulness of eating. So I think maybe I'll go back to that and just like put the phone down, turn off the TV and just like make eating an experience, even if I'm eating lunch in my kitchen like I do every single day.
Yeah, I love that. Do you do a gratitude prayer before you eat?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Amazing.
So we'll continue to do that. Check out my bone health. Maybe do a liver detox, work on my liver. I actually have eating protocols for specifically for a liver detox. So I can certainly look into doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe in the spring. Oh, maybe I'll do it with a group. That's a good idea. It's like we'll do a group 14 day.
Yeah, there you go. 11th house right there. Anything you do in a group is going to be really nourishing for you. Just keep that in mind. Any group activities. And doing a liver detox, just remember also liver, it's where we store anger. So there could be things that come out, you know, during that period. So also just making sure that you have support, you know, if stuff comes out that you need to talk through. Speaking from personal experience, I did one and it's a lot that came out.
Dun, dun, dun. Yep. You're like, what's wrong with Coach Jennifer? She's angry. She's doing a liver detox. And then the other thing, I did want to ask you about the workday structure, because I am struggling with that. I feel like I'm better, more focused when I have like a very specific morning routine. I meditate, work out, do the next thing on my list versus just waking up like, oh, what am I going to do today? And then I feel like I just wasted a bunch of time doing piddly stuff because I don't have a plan.
Yeah, it's interesting because you need a certain amount of flexibility because your sixth house is ruled by a water sign and water signs usually like to go to flow, you know, to kind of go with their emotions. But because Saturn is in your sixth house, Saturn likes routine. So what I would say for you is I think having a routine could be good, but with some flexibility built in that maybe one day you're doing the group training if you're going to a group thing, but it's not necessarily at 10 a.m. Maybe it's at a different time or leaving scheduled, unscheduled time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you ever done that? Scheduled, unscheduled time?
No, but I tell my clients to do it all the time.
Oh, okay.
We call it high priority time. Like leave a block on your calendar where it's nothing.
Yeah.
Just every single week. It's just you have a block of time and you do nothing with it.
Yeah. I really feel like it would be fun for you to do a creative practice because Cancer is also creativity. That's why I say try the dance, just something that's flow, movement, you know, in a way that's less conventional. Like I think that's really great, the group strength training, but just to balance it out because that's also Cancer wants to be in tune with emotions, with intuition, you know? So it's about doing some sort of practice that helps you to really tune in with that. Intuitive, you know, and dance is a little more intuitive than, for example, you know, lifting weights.
Yeah. Okay. I'm down. I'm definitely going to go back and do my somatic movement because I actually did enjoy it now that I think about it. I don't know why. I probably just took it out of the schedule and that's why I stopped.
Yeah.
This has been fascinating. next time I see you, I will give you an update on like how my plans are and how my health is.
Yeah.
Someone who is struggling with their weight, how could this type of reading support them?
That's a great question. So I feel like one with weight loss, what medical astrology will help you with is, first of all, looking at things like what we did with your eating patterns, you know, because some people, for example, like a six house Cancer would be very different from a six house Aries. A six house Aries, I would be saying something like, you know, you need to chew your food, you need to take more time, you know. So understanding, for example, what type of eating habits are going to be more beneficial for you, understanding your metabolism, understanding what sort of exercise is going to support your metabolism, and also what practices are going to help you to get your energy into alignment. So for example, if I see a lot of fire in your chart, but I don't see much earth, then I would be suggesting that you do more grounding practices, like going and taking a walk in nature, spending time in nature. Do you do that, by the way? Do you do like anything that involves getting out and getting into nature?
It's so terrible, Sarah. No, I don't. I don't.
Is that something that you've tried?
I love walking outside. I don't know. I was talking to my husband about it. Paranoia, like just there's creepy people out in the world. We live in the big city and, you know.
What about doing a group hiking, like a group hike?
I could do that. I mean, we have got tons of parks and trails and all the things over here in Philly. And I was following a group on Instagram. They do hikes.
Yeah. And there's Wissahickon something or other, but they do a group hike. I did one of them. They were great, once a month.
Okay.
Yeah. But it could be something to try because I see that you like the group. And then to your point, doing a medical astrology reading, if you are struggling with something like weight loss, will help you to understand, okay, this is the sort of exercise that I naturally would probably enjoy that would be best for my body. Some people do better when it comes to solo. And then also understanding on an intuitive level, what's really causing, you know, the lack of balance that's then manifesting on a physical level as weight gain. Because there's so many different root causes that can contribute to that. And a lot of times we can see those signatures as well in your chart. So for example, if you had a lot of water in your chart, water signs are they can just fall into their emotions and go very, very deep in because they feel everything so deeply. So strategies for example, heavy water would be very different for a strategy or strategies that are heavy fire, you know, and air would be something else. Have you read the book by Deepak Chopra, What Are You Hungry For?
Mm-mm. No, I haven't read that one.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Okay.
That's kind of in line with what I do when it comes to a medical astrology reading. So it's not just about the surface level. Okay, here are some tips, you know, for eating. It's about let's go and look at what area of your life is out of balance and why is it out of balance and get to the root cause, which is what I would do if I went deeper, you know, in a session.
Listen, all my clients who are listening, y'all need to go see Sarah.
Thank you.
Let's understand the source, the root cause of our emotional eating.
Yeah.
And this is not just my clients, but anyone who's listening. So this is a good segue. Like, how can people find you and how can they arrange to get a reading like this?
Yeah. So I am on all the social media. So on Instagram, my account is Sarah, Sarah, Soul, Soul, Boss, Boss. And I do a lot of videos there. I also have a website, sarasoulboss.com. So if you would like to learn more about readings, then you can go there. I'm on Facebook and TikTok as well. I would say Instagram is probably the social media platform that I'm the most active with right now.
Okay. And you also do the business readings too, right? I'm interested in getting one of those done. So just if you're an entrepreneur, business person, she does all of this, but specifically geared toward businesses, like helping you make decisions about when to sell, when to not sell, when to like move forward, launch, all the things.
Yeah. Then we'd look at the moon cycle. We'd look at the transits and we'd see, okay, what's happening in the cosmos. So for example, if it's a Mercury retrograde, not the best time to be launching. We're in the eclipse portal now. So this is actually a really great time to be reevaluating what's coming up in your external world, because it's a time that's very potent when the universe is showing you through your external environment the shifts that you are ready to make internally. So definitely pay attention to whatever is coming up right now as we move towards the lunar eclipse at the end of March, which is going to be in Libra, because that's going to be highlighting something from a 6-month cycle that is now coming to a close that started in October, around the 14th of October, when we had that first solar eclipse in Libra. So yeah, that's helpful to understand. During eclipse season, things can start to get a little wonky. So that's not always the best time if you're an entrepreneur for launching something. The energy can be a little bit, you know, unpredictable. And we're going to be going into a Mercury retrograde soon. So yeah. Good things to know when you have a business.
Entrepreneurs, go see Sarah too, because I've been hearing a lot of, in the like coaching industry, people having astrology coaches or astrology, I don't know, what do you call it? A consultant?
Yeah, astrology coaches, consultants. Yeah.
Yeah, consultant. And they're like, as they're making these decisions, and I'm like, oh, it's so fascinating. And then I met you and I was like, yep, I can see why.
Yeah, I can see. Direct hotline to the cosmos.
Yeah, this is good. I'm all about the energy of people, humans, beings, the world, all the things.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For sharing my first medical astrology reading with the world.
I hope it was helpful.
It was very helpful, very helpful. And as I continue on this journey of like, healing and growth, and this will definitely be part of what I do going forward. So when I see you, I can give you all the deets, give you the update.
I can't wait.
All right. Thank you so much, Sarah, for your time today and talking to my listeners.
Yes, it was a pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
If you like today's episode of the Stop Dieting Forever podcast, and you want to learn more about creating a lifestyle instead of following a diet to lose weight permanently, be sure to visit jenniferdent.com. There, you'll learn more about my unique weight loss process and how it can work for you. Go to jenniferdent.com to discover what you can do to stop dieting forever.